Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
Hi. Are you guys awesome?
Aren't we always?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think... So I heard Becky and Steve. Do we have...
Yeah,
Debbie's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you're sounding excited, too. Brad, are you on? Missing Brad this week, huh?
Missing Brad.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm growly and gnarly and ready to rank and crank and do it all up here, so let's do it. Let's find out. Steve, are you complete or incomplete?
I am incomplete this week.
All right. Becky?
Complete.
Way to go!
Good job!
Yeah, woohoo!
Deb?
I'm incomplete.
Okay.
Oh, well, damn it. Sorry. That means the pressure's on me, though. That was not right.
You're the most amount of awesome person.
No, I'm not.
No, yeah, you are.
Okay, but, the pressure.
You're on top. You're top of the heap right now. So you are the shining star. You are the stallion that's pulling the wagon here. Okay, so who learned something this week?
I did.
Like what?
Like me, Ken is awesome. Oh, no, I already mean that. Never mind. You know, I mean, we only have an hour. Seriously, I couldn't even begin to tell you everything that I learned this week.
Well, what started it? Why do you think this week was a sterling week?
Because there was a new product, and that just like, seriously, that whole event on Saturday just made me go, you know, they just like are making this easier and easier and easier for us. All we have to do is open our mouths. Which is, I mean, a no-brainer. I'm talking unless I'm sleeping, so.
That is so cool. And I really felt it. That was really, we're starting to gear up. Each event gets a little better. This one just got a whole lot better.
Yeah, a whole lot better. Very cool.
What were the highlight points for you in that event?
Just the new product alone.
Think that the people who are getting recognition and awards were more excited than they have been?
Well, actually, yeah, you have a point. Plus the people who got free stuff, like me. That was pretty exciting.
Cool, so you took a hold of this new product. Is that what you're marketing with, or just the idea that wow, Mikan's amazing, and here's something cool. What that made you really go out and buy this?
I don't think I've really even begun to gear towards the new product yet. It's just really it's just kind of reaffirming the whole, wow, Mikan is really cool, and this, oh, we got this new thing. You have to try this. Okay, just, you gotta come. You gotta see this stuff. You're gonna love it.
Well, that's exactly what Mikan headquarters wanted people to see and to gain from that event was that it is not that we're going to go running off and everybody's selling one new product. It's that it makes the foundational wellness home even more compelling in the long run. That's really neat that affected you that way. Did anybody this week that you were talking to that really seems like someone you want to partner with?
You know, there were a couple, but the truth is, even after yesterday or Saturday, I don't know, I'm still getting a lot of the him and hawing and, well, just wait until my kids are back in school and just don't, you know, I need a couple more weeks. And
one distributor, she's really interesting. She's been in it for about a year and a half and worked every day and worked really hard at it. And she was always a little frustrated because it just never got past the level of executive. And one month, and this was when Dick and Nancy Walker finally went silver, she was part of a group that we were silvers with two silvers trying to go gold. This gal was a part of a group that had 70 people in it and hadn't gone silver yet. Driving me flipping nuts because I just this group and the leader, the top gal in the group, I really did not instill or inspire her. It was one of the great mistakes I ever made. I made her feel like she couldn't do it, and in part my presentation style was that way. And she would have me come over and do presentations, and I really just talked around her, not including her in the conversation. It really was not a good scenario, but she just plain lost confidence. And so once it came time for us to try to build her to silver, and she had 70 people in her organization wouldn't go silver, she just couldn't move. Well, this gal was in her organization. Marcia was her name, Marcia Peters. And Marcia came up next to the heat of Dr. Walker when we started that group. Dr. Walker went silver in his first month. Marcia Peters was in her second year. Marcia had been stuck on ground zero and could not get it going. One day, something clicked in her head, and she just said, "This is it. It's so important that I can't not tell you." And she went out, and within 30 days, she did $40,000 in volume. Went silver, started up the big group, and really roared through the thing. And I talked to her later, and she said, "You know, it's so weird because I only changed about two words, but what I did change was that month that it was time to go silver, she just said, 'Enough of this,' when she talked to her friends. 'We've been looking at this and messing with this long enough. The time is really here to just, let's move forward or be done with it. Let's make a decision.'" And she said, people said, "Great, been waiting for you to say that." And they'd move one way or the other, sign up, get the thing, and move on. So she said, it was that urgency within herself that changed, and everything changed. It was such a small little change, but it made all the difference. So you're building toward that urgency. When you get to that point of the urgency, you're going to look back and say, "Man, I was standing within an inch of this thing, and all I have to do is to step over just this much and really..."
Yeah.
Debbie and Steve, do you have any times in your career where you could say you flipped that on, maybe it went off again, maybe it didn't, where you could really definably say that that conviction level changed?
Yeah, I think, Jerry, I think it's with everything that you do. It started riding the bicycle. You know, you fell off, you got on, you fell off, you got on, and pretty soon you got really angry with the stupid bike and you just rode it.
Ah. And did you have a point where you had that steely-eyed determination with Nikan for weeks, months? What's the longest period you could say you've just been locked, radar on, ready to go?
With Nikan?
Right.
You know, I think it's probably been 4 months.
And so here's the key question. Once you begin to start to see that and start to move forward with it, what do you do to keep it in front of you? And this is one of Terry Latham's calls, is he's got a deal, is how do you keep your why in front of you? How do you keep getting up every day and putting that one foot in front of the other? So is there something, Debbie, that you use to re-inspire and to keep the flame going?
You know, I think I just have the flame, Jerry. I'm sure at some point in the past I've had to keep something in front of me to keep me going.
Uh-huh.
But pretty soon I just start going.
there's a big lesson to be learned here. Have any of you ever been frustrated with your people who start and then they never seem to really get going?
Okay.
Yep.
And if you look back in your own history, were there times when you started but you never really got going?
Yes.
And so now we have this really interesting learning moment, because it's going to happen with all your people. And I used to say this right from the get-go in my T1 groups, and sometimes I forget to say it now, is that where I'm most excited, and especially with the P1 groups, when we get to about week number 4, people will come screaming out of the chute, and they'll be so excited to be a part of a P1 team. They get their numbers right out of the bat. They have the excitement of learning these new things and being involved with other people and doing all that.
I think we lost him. I don't know how it happened. We're in the middle of a thought and everything.
Yeah, I'm just going to lose that thought. You know that. I would lose that thought. That's the only reason I say that.
I think we all would lose that thought.
I bet you he was going to say something like, before they go, they head out of that race, they get out of the gate, they are going like crazy, and then they run into a wall. What do you think?
Yep. And they're not all of a sudden they're not so excited anymore. I mean, so motivated to just
I think they hear noise and they get a little down.
Yeah, I from experience, which I'm sure both of you have, say the same thing. You hear a few no's and you go, I can't do this.
Hey, can you guys hear me now?
Yep. Did you drop the phone again?
On what you were saying.
Hey, I found a new button on my phone.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Gary.
How long did it take before you realized we couldn't hear you?
Well, I was yelling at you.
It should be the mute button here.
Yeah, that's dead all over the screen, so you're exactly right.
Yeah, mute.
Oh, man, and I was...
So finish your thought. You were in week 4, heading out the gate. We were going like racehorses down the track, and...
And I expect that. I expect that adrenaline rush out of everybody when they first get started. I really that's not a surprise to me. You'll get people and they'll say, you just watch me. I'll be the reason your fridge and your family will never, your kids will never have to worry about it, and they'll go to college out when they can, and it's just going to be because of me, and we're going, whatever. Because speeding is we're waiting for that point for that initial adrenaline to run out, and they have to come to the point of reckoning and say, you know what, I got blisters on my feet, this thing is sweaty, I'm working hard, had a few rejections. So I was thinking everybody would get it, and some don't. Now what do I do? And that point where they come to, I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what I have to do. I'm driving my stake here, and I will not be going backwards from this point. Now I know you got somebody who's a player. So as you become mature and you become aware and you start people out in your business, and as you start being your leaders on the P1 programs, as you begin to start to run those, be aware that they have to go through that hormone rush at the beginning. Some of them will actually gain high ranks, get lots of volume. Others will get a bunch of, grab a handful of smoke and get a handful of nothing. But at some point, they will walk in, they'll step down, they'll put it in low gear, they'll start pulling stumps, and you know you got somebody by then. To me, that's when I know I got somebody started. I look forward to it. In fact, I try to kind of push it a little bit to make them have to walk through the grizzlies a little bit so that they come to that point and say, enough. this shall be done. You can't stop me. I'm going anyway.
I think it's for riding the bicycle.
Exactly. And so you have to be aware of that with your new people, and almost be ready to give them that parental discussion when they come to the point where they're saying, I hate this, I'm going to quit. Yeah, we all said that. We all said that a bunch of times. But what we're looking for is that point at which you say, that's it, I'll never quit. Now we got somebody to work with. Now we got somebody that's really going to stand tall and go for it. So that's our learning moment. That point at which a lot of these people, remember Sherry Dorsey?
Yes.
Sherry Dorsey went for a full year and a half and had a little product or a little success here, a little success there, kept trying to force it, kept trying to remake the system so that it would look more sophisticated, and Sherry just had to let her go. Just had to let her go, let her think, let her do, let her whatever, and she finally came back and said, okay, this is done. Nothing's working. What am I doing? He says, all right, well, watch this. She goes, no, wait a second. That thing did. Every word is the same. You didn't change anything. You're the same. Yep. That's called duplication. It took me even longer than her, because now in my 11th year in Niken, I'm finally discovering duplication.
Oh, so I'm not doing bad then, of like, not even my second year.
No, it's really, really important, and I think Steve can really attest to that too, that the unlearning curve is the most important thing that will be, or that's the bridge you must cross in order to start.
I've often said that the hardest part about this is getting out of our own way.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And that the more educated people are, the more life experience they've had, oftentimes they have a lot more unlearning to do.
Mm-hmm. The kids do really well. The young kids, the 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. If you can get them focused.
Get them behind it, they do really well.
So in that, then, what's really kind of cool is when you become the kind of leader who can step back and, as Jim Rohn puts it, just be curious and say, settle on our mechanism. And we say, this is how it's done, and this is what we do, and done, 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 done. And you just keep reproducing it over and over and over. And then be curious how your people respond to that. You know they're going to come in, and some of them are going to just go crazy creating new things and coming up with new ideas and doing all this other stuff. But they will come back. And you're just curious to watch how and when. We're on the cusp of a magnificent, huge explosion in our organizations, because we're at that point where we're saying, okay, let's do the duplication. And I think I want to just give you all a sense of what my history's been. Brad, was that you that came on later? I heard a beep. Just want to check. My organization is one that's hallmarked by people who come in and sponsor, well, sometimes hundreds of people wide. And there are other organizations that go, like Bruce Erickson, the diamond in our area, and he's got something like 6 royal diamonds in one leg underneath him, and very little in any other leg. So if we look at that, which would you rather have?
Width.
Okay. And that's exactly what I thought, too. And in fact, in the initial phases, you do want the width for several reasons. One of them is because our business can tend to be quite cyclical. So Somebody will really make a push for silver, and then they'll back off for a couple of months. Then somebody else will make a push for silver, and they'll back off for a couple of months. And if you're based on one or two people, you can see how that would just be this massive roller coaster ride, up and down, up and down. Your checks get high, your checks get low. Your checks get high, your checks get low. You have a heck of a time qualifying for things and all kinds of...
You hit the mute button again.
Am I gone again?
Oh, no, you were, but you're back now.
I'm getting a tremendous number of beep-ins right now because I just had this board meeting and this huge, huge deal happened. And so they're going to have to wait because I'm with really good people now.
Oh, he's so sweet.
So you guys are, what we did was we went wide and... In the early days, we really got paid back well because we were wide. A lot of good things happened because of that. One of them is that we had a very stable organization, and when we got our checks up, they stayed up. That was really good. You didn't get a lot of wild fluctuation, and they continued to grow and move up.
Did I misunderstand you before when you said the width? When you go wide like that, you get fluctuation, but you didn't?
Fewer fluctuations if you go wide than if you're only relying on one or two groups.
Okay. Sorry.
Because let's say you've got, in one or two groups, somebody's always going to be down when somebody else is up. And you'll have some that are, a lot of them down, and you'll have both of them down. But if you've got, I think we're 18 silvers wide right now, something like that. And as long as we kept the heat to it, we really had very, very stable, very high checks, lots of high, you know, it's really interesting, guys. I just have a moment here. I'm driving home, and this has been the oddest couple of days for sightings of animals. I'm down here by the Little Spokane River, a lot of deer going by, and... there's a moose out here eating somebody's tree.
They're going to be excited.
That was even more exciting because I was coming back from a wellness preview, a little and all, and across the road in front of me ran two one-third size twin baby cougars.
Oh, wow.
And that was right out by St. George's School, so it was almost in town here. I've never seen them in the wild like that, and twins, and the whole deal. I almost stopped and told people, hey, you got cougars in your yard, and mama's around somewhere, but that's exactly why I didn't stop and get out of my car.
Yeah.
I want to get between those babies and their mama. That wouldn't have been a good
idea. Not a good idea.
So we went wide, and that served us very well, but all of our teams began to go wide as well. And that was a good thing to a certain extent. Problem was, what we were creating, and what I was really working on creating, was very charismatic, very strong people who would do lots of work, sponsor lots of people. And what they would do is they'd sponsor their own people, and then they would sponsor a few people under them, and then they would sponsor a few people under them. And they had wide organizations, they'd maybe go silver, but they had very few people that would go diamond or go gold or platinum or diamond or anything beyond that, and their groups were extremely shallow. They would go one or two or three groups, and then they would peter out because that charismatic leader could only do so many things, and then they ran out of juice. Mm-hmm. See the point there?
Uh-huh.
Now, they lasted for about 6 years working very hard like that and wore themselves completely out. So, there is some very big benefit to going wide and get there and get there quickly. But there is a huge benefit from going deep. And the deep part makes your people much more stable. And the growth is huge. We need to be students of network marketing. Does anybody know, Steve, you probably worked this out on paper. And Debbie, if you guys, really, this is the sort of stuff you really want to play with. If you were to, let's do an easy one. let's take one who sponsors one in the first generation. You have two, and then you have four, then you have eight, and then you have 16. How many people would you have in the sixth generation? Always take two who sponsor two.
Yeah, I was working on that tonight, and I got lost. I could do two a month, but I couldn't do one a month. Doesn't make sense, but my brain was too asleep. But the first month you'd have two people in your organization.
So if you got six generations, the first generation is 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64.
Wait.
So that's 128 is one too many generations.
Okay. Yeah, that's seven generations. Six generations is 64.
Okay, now here, figure this out because this is pretty interesting. What percentage of people, if you add the total up, all those numbers, what percentage of people are in your top three levels?
Five.
5% of the total?
Yeah, I'm totally guessing.
Okay, well, no, so let's look at 2, 4, 8, so that add those up. That's 12, 13, 14. The top number is 14, and the bottom number would be 64 and
30,
56, or 64 and 32.
The top number is 14. Okay, so the bottom number is 50. So 14 divided by 50 is 28%.
Well, let's see, what's our sixth generation? 32, right?
64.
You get to add 64 plus 32 plus 16.
Huh?
You lost me.
What we're saying is, what's the total of people in levels 3, or 4, 5, and 6?
You don't get to add them, dear.
You do if you did two a month.
Okay, if you do two a month, you've got 240 people in your group.
If you did two once and never got another person, is what I'm saying.
But if you do two a month and you do the power of duplication thing that you've got, then he's right. You need to.
Yeah, it's way bigger. So what you have is it's just you get two once and never get another soul, and each of your people get two once or get another soul. Is what I'm
right.
talking about.
Yeah.
Then you end up with 64 plus 32 plus 16 would be the bottom half. So that's 96.
Gary, aren't you counting some of the people twice here? In generation 5, you had 32 people.
Right.
They signed up two more. Each of them, but that's if you didn't do anything.
Well, yeah, what that means is that you get 64 new people in the sixth
generation. I got it.
And that's different than if you got one a month. That's the difference between one a month and two a month.
Yeah.
Or 2 months.
64 as opposed to 240.
Yes, right. So we're trying to stay somewhat simple, and I made it complicated, but that's what I do best.
Congratulations.
So if you add those three numbers up, 64...
32 and 16 is 112.
Okay, now compare 112 to 1 or to 18 in our top number. So you're basically 10. 14%?
No, the 14 was the top number.
Okay, so you're roughly, 10 or 12% of the total are in your top three levels. You see that?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You take 112 divided by 14. Is that how you get that percent, or is it the other way around?
Actually, you take to get the overall percentage of what the top would be. You'd add them all up, all six levels, and then divide by 14.
Anyway, it's a little percentage.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 11%. This is going to be about right. So 11% of your total is in the top three, and you can work yourself into the ditch, fall over, and you're done because you can't do anymore because you got your 11%. That's all you're going to get. What if, on the other hand, you went into the half, and you can't possibly sponsor all those people. Your group has to do that, especially
right.
if you're talking five to get five, we get five, and then it really gets crazy.
Right.
Because if you do five for six levels, it's 15,625 on the last level. So what we have to look at in understanding the leverage of this whole marketing strategy, we want far more to spend our time in levels 4, 5, and 6 and let it automatically reproduce in levels 4, 5, and 6 than we ever do in levels 1, 2, and 3. See the logic?
Yeah, sure.
So now if you go very wide in those first levels, but you never achieve much down into the bottom levels, can you see how you get more of a diamond shape instead of a triangle shape in your organization?
Yeah.
And then what you're doing is you're compromising huge dollar values and huge numbers of people because you've gone too wide and not deep. And you've not got a reproducing model. So that's one of the ways that we need to look at it, and that's what I had to do with my organization, was to say, okay, we had this incredible list, but percentage-wise, we would have done much better if we'd have taught each of those people something simple they could produce and somebody else could produce and someone else could produce, so that those great widths could be developed in the lower level generations. So now let's look at it from the standpoint of what numbers you were playing with. And this is what our homework assignment was. Steve, it sounds like you got all sort of wrapped up in your own fishing line on this deal. But what did you come up with?
Well, what I came up with was, as far as looking at what I you know, after experiencing what it is last week, I figured if I contacted three people a day for 5 days a week, that'd give me 15 contacts. If I had 15 contacts, I should be able to get 3 appointments. And, I'll take it out by week. 15 contacts, 4.3 weeks per month would give me 63 people that I would contact. And if you take that into a third, that'd be 21 appointments. Take that into a third, that would be, hopefully be able to sponsor 6 during the month and be able to take have two of those be seniors.
Okay, so if you were sitting down the road 1 month from now and pulled that off, would you feel like the king of the universe and your wife would have to bow when you came in the room?
She would be excited. And I would be more than excited.
Good. You went through some numbers. Were any of those surprising to you?
Yeah, because of the fact that it's less than the 5, but it's been, but yet it would, you know, and I don't know if that would play out or not, but I would think it should. I would think it would have to. If the rule of thirds
well,
are...
Well, if you list it, we've done network marketing, they always say those numbers.
Yeah.
One-thirds. It always comes out no matter whether you're a great presenter or whether you're a putt. I mean, you kind of have to get it across and have a decent tape if you're just a slobberhead. But that's the numbers. It's always been those numbers. If you knew that, if we put you through hypnosis and you understood that you were Elvis and those numbers were perfect, and you just were going to do them, it would work. They always do.
You know, I watch what Greg has done. You know, and it's been amazing. Well, since you talked to him, he's had, I think, two people sign up. He's got two more that are ready to sign up this week. And his volume is four or five times what it, three or four times what it was a month ago already, this month. And people are coming out, and he's got people coming out of the woodwork, and people are actually referring people to him.
And what was the shift?
He just got sick and tired of a couple things. Number one, his wife agreed to back him because she'd finally seen enough after 9 years. Number two, he was sick and tired of working for somebody else. Number three, he's got his radar out, and he cares about people, and they can sense that they care about him. He's not trying to sell him a product, even though he's doing a product demonstration on him to help him not hurt. And people are responding.
Is he keeping track of these stats?
Loosely.
I would really recommend that you keep track of the stats, because the more you count them, the more you're going to make them happen.
Just
keeping track. Keeping track. Give yourself credit. Most people never give themselves credit for their daily activities, and so they go to bed depressed. When in fact, if they were actually to look at the things that they did and like to keep categories and columns of what I did today, then they would be surprised that they did a lot more than they thought they would. And all those people that don't keep track, they end up like the Donner Party. They get within so many short miles of freedom, 7 miles of freedom, and they starve to death and eat each other. Okay, let's see what, based on the same homework assignment, let's see what you were working on, Debbie.
Well, it was basically the same thing, Gary. I just took the third to figure out how many people I had to contact on a daily basis in order to make this work. And if you just, if your goal is at the very least 2 a month, if you just take that chart, the 2 a month chart, it means, you got to make 18 contacts to get 6 meetings to get 2 people.
Aha. Uh-huh. And then if you know that, and you measure that, have you found that you get any emotion from either doing it or not doing it?
Well, I can schedule my days that way. If I know that I need to make 18 contacts to get 6 meetings, I can make my 18 contacts, 2 a day for however many days, 1 a day, 3 a day, 4 a day, 5 a day, however many it takes to get 6 meetings set up or 8 meetings set up, and I can divide those into the hours in the morning. If I make my contacts between 9 and 10 and I set my meetings up between 11 and 2, then I can have the rest of my life.
Good. Has it played out?
Yeah, for the most part.
Do you feel like you're getting more and more handle and control on your business by doing it? It's not so random.
Yeah, I think so.
Good, then that's achieving its purpose. All right, let's see what Becky came up with.
The same as the other two. I'm a little bit different. At least from Mom, I'm a little bit different. Because I'm kind of a work in progress, and this isn't my only gig, so I tend to always have about 20,000 things going on, like I'm sure everybody does. I mean, I'm not trying to discount anybody else. But I came up with the same scenario of the two people a month, and, you have to break it down in the third, just like everybody else. We all know that. So for me, it kind of boils down to, I pretty much just, because I work in a mall environment, I just tend to try to focus myself to at least talk to two or three people every time I'm out walking the mall. And it may be people that I already know, and it may be people that I don't already know. But sooner or later, because there's so many people who walk the mall first thing in the morning, which translates to my brain, that I know that they're health conscious, and I know that they could benefit from Nikin and everything that it has to offer, including the latest thing. It's really hard for me to walk the mall in the morning to not vomit all over them with Nikin, seriously. It just, and I don't want them to go, oh my God, that girl, we gotta leave, she's gotta leave us alone, we have to, like, avoid her.
Okay, so, critically important, and a couple things are really becoming evident here, and so we just, I think I want to take this moment to point it out. Number one, we will always start these little diversions in when we do our counts and our trying to make our completes and doing all that sort of thing. There's a real danger that we focus only on the number to be gained so you can get your complete and incomplete. What we really have to do is what Steve mentioned at the first there. Greg, his son, had two people signed up. If you're always concentrating on working backwards on your stats to, okay, if I got those two, how many came to wellness previews? How many came to prior to that an ABC? And how many before that did I actually invite? If you're working backward that way, you're focusing on, I wanted to get these people signed up or to have them purchase product. I wanted these people to finish the information gathering process. If you think in terms of how many are finishing the process, you will end up with people finishing the process and signing up and buying products. If you think about making the intro, and that's the as far as you think, that's as far as it goes. So it's real important to play these out to the end scenario. And I love what you're all saying because, Steve, remember what happened when Dr. Nelson decided he was going to get two seniors a month. Do you remember what he ended up with?
Yeah, 1.5 in Distributor of the Year.
Yeah, 1.5, but he was the Distributor of the Year in Royal Diamond in 2 years, or 3 years. And, no, he was a Diamond in 2 years, I guess. Royal Diamond took him longer. But Distributor of the Year, that was pretty good because the first Distributor of the Year was Dave Johnson, the second was Dennis Williams, and the third one was him. It was on 1.5 seniors a month. So the numbers that you're playing here, if you get two seniors a month, which is what we were focusing on in our business, trying to do the Paragon Award at least once. Once we did that Paragon Award, we really literally, I think that's what launched us into qualifying for the home program and all the way up to platinum. It wasn't even those seniors that necessarily made us get there. There were one or two within there that did. But it's the momentum. It's that kick in the pants momentum that got started. Now, the second point I wanted to make, based on what Becky was saying, if I remember this after all that gyration, I'm going to be amazed at myself, was that you were saying you don't want to throw up all over people. So we have this whole spectrum we have to remember. And this is what's got me so excited lately, is that after listening to Jeff Van Blark, Master, listening to Terry Latham, they have really got the idea down that the first exposure you have to somebody should never be longer than a minute.
Okay.
And it should always be to invite them to something else. The exception, an airplane.
And so then, essentially, the second exposure is whatever, whether they're coming to your house for an ABC or whether they're going to a preview or whatever, right?
Right.
Maybe it's an ABC over lunch?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I mean, not necessarily to your house, but yeah, either an ABC or a preview or something.
Now, the best event is always the next event. We know that to be true. So So that means it could be you'd take them to the Saturday quarterly. If that was the next event, it was only a day after you met them.
Right.
It would be out of sequence. Don't ever discount that you can take somebody to a big event in the middle of the sequence. But generally, the sequence always goes ABC before wellness preview.
Really?
And the reason being, you're going to find that most people will not show up to a meeting in the evening for their first event. It's just becoming a universal law.
But I have a senior. Yeah, I have a senior distributor that went senior, never went to a wellness preview, and she. It took 4 years. She finally came to a wellness preview a few weeks ago.
And we've had some. I've had them build up to where they were almost gold and hadn't been to a citywide wellness preview. Now, I think that's a fault, and I'm trying to cure it. We need to grow the citywide wellness preview. Well, now that we're only doing 50 minutes in these, or 40 to 50-minute wellness previews, can't you agree, Debbie, that it's becoming less painful to go to them?
Yes.
And you could see yourself bringing people. Now we need to get a little more uniformity because some of them are getting so short now they don't say anything. So that's why we have flip charts. And when we get this down to where we've got flip charts that can be done by people, and we've got the ABC that can be done in a specific way, somebody can see it twice and say, I'm starting to get the gist of it. The third time they say, I got it, I'm taking it. Now we're working in a way that will allow us to grow in levels 4, 5, and 6, and you will get explosive growth, and you will come home. If you only work on unique things and specifically sort of cool presentations, you will always stay at a level where you're working your silly fool head off, and you're doing all the work for other people, and you can't figure out why they don't get it. That's such a big deal. But to go back to Becky's point, Becky, then, if you're meeting somebody in the mall, it's all about prospecting, rapport building, prospecting, and rapport building. The last minute is, hey, I'd love to get together with you and talk about something. It just keeps coming to my head every time I talk to you.
Okay, so what if, you know, here's the thing. There's a good handful of them that I've given CDs to, and they are showing interest, but every single time I try to get into a preview, there's always an excuse.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying is that we found to be the case. People will not go to a preview first.
I know, but I'm saying that it's okay. So how about Jerry? Just a thought here. She's got some contacts out there. Would it be appropriate for her to see if she can get them all together in one spot and have me show up and do a 15-minute presentation?
Sometimes you can get lucky with that. You bet. And a lot of it depends on your credibility or how fun you make the party sound. But
okay.
What we found in general application across the board is if you can say, hey, if you got 30 minutes, sometime, where we can sit down, because I want to compare some notes, and I'll buy the Pepsi. That's the deal.
Okay.
If you can sit down and go through and say, as far as reproducibility is concerned, if you can sit down and say, do you learn better by video or by reading? And remember what we were doing there at the event this weekend.
Yeah, I remember, but the whole thing is, every single one of these people has already gotten either a DVD or a CD. Every single one of them.
What I would do is always tell me that they're interested. I would always sit down with them and say, I just want to throw this thing out here because I keep forgetting all the points in it. And then say, okay, I flipped to this page. When you saw the five pillars of health, what came to mind? And they're saying, well, I noticed that I was out of balance over here, and I really wanted to get a healthy life over here. You're marking that in your head.
The idea for her is to figure out how to get them on an individual one-on-one basis and go through the ABC guide.
Exactly. And then let them tell you which parts of the ABC guide are interesting to them, which concepts are interesting to them.
Okay.
what they're doing then is they're telling you, essentially, when you sit down and go through that, they're telling you how to sponsor them.
Okay.
Without that information,
I think
you don't know what.
Then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna your whole goal is to say, okay, now you've seen a couple of things. Here's the deal. Oops, look, I got to run. When can we schedule 30 minutes?
All right. Okay. Okay. And it could
That's
be after
you
their morning walk.
You.
Huh? It could be after their morning walk. Right, yeah. Well, I'll have a cup of coffee.
If you see him heading for the door, one of the great things is you can say, hey, been thinking about you, and I just want to I want to get some questions, and it would just be fun. Let's meet for 30 minutes when it'd be a good time.
Okay.
Because then you keep it short. So your whole point is get that appointment.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to teach my people now when they first sign up is to say, all this other stuff's going to be really important, and you'll do your ignition sequence guide, you'll watch your video, and you'll do all this other stuff. But the key thing that we really need to do, the first thing we need to do, is to go out and start having some appointments. So who are we going to go see? And just, well, what are you going to say? You're just going to say to them, run across the company. I really think you're going to want to see it. I have no idea how you're going to use it, but I need to sit down with you. Take about 30 minutes. I want my partner to be there, and we want to show it what's up. You know, something like that. And then they just have to get appointments and sit there and watch.
Okay.
Then we do the flip chart the same way we do with all the others. And it's been astounding. Most people will come in and go, that flip chart is so childish, and I wouldn't want to use it for this or that or anything. And once they see it three or four times, even when it hooks the neurosurgeon, they're going, whoa, I would never have guessed that that thing would have done that. And the biggest deal is you're letting them tell you what they like. Otherwise,
yeah.
Everything's a crapshoot. You don't know.
Exactly.
And because you don't know, you have to keep pulling out bullets and shooting them again.
Which is where I'm at right now. So.
And you said, yeah, you don't know. Gosh, am I guessing? I don't see any change in the affect of their face. But if you get them passionately discussing some subject that's on that paper, they're in the process of signing themselves up, and you're just standing back and watching it.
Yeah.
Then you could say to them, wow, okay, based on what we just talked about, do you want to know more? Well, I've already seen the videos. Yeah, well, what's next? Well, what I want you to do is to go to a place where you can see people who use this stuff, people who actually have parlayed this into some severe or serious income. People just, I want you to see what the people are like. They're a kick in the pants. People are up, they're upbeat whenever they get together. They look forward to the future, all kinds of stuff. I want you to see that because that's who we're going to be marketing to. That comes up on Thursday night. We'll give you a demo and let you feel what the technologies will do right after that. And then keep your questions because it's after that point when we're going to really answer those questions. So now that helps, hopefully that gives you a way to parlay into or move into sashay into the next point.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So when they come in, all you need to do is to say, give me an appointment.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I was stuck. I felt like I was at that brick wall, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. We have a heck of a time with that brick wall right at the beginning. Especially with Pathfinders, one of the hardest things is that people start focusing so much on getting their five, they think that's the end of the proposition. Well, no, the five are, ultimately, it's your second step where you've said, hey, I got a new company that I think you're going to want to hear about. I have no idea how you're going to use it, but it'd be a blast to work with you on it if it did make sense. You got 30 minutes, we can get together. What? And they'll say, what is it? You sneak in. Have you heard about it? No, most of the time. And say, well, that's why I want to get together with you because it's kind of so big that I can't really discuss it here, and if you don't feel it, you won't believe it. It's pretty amazing stuff. And I don't know what you can do with it, but it's sure going to be a blast, and I want to talk to you. So when do we get together? Keeping it short, keeping it visionary. Then when you get to the ABC and you do the ABC presentation, and you'd say, What jumped out at you? What kinds of things do you think are really possible out there? And do you want to know more? And if you want to know more, here's the deal. Maybe I'll give you this CD or DVD, but what you really have to do is to be around the people and then come to the preview. So that interim step is real critical. They won't come to the meeting if you don't do that.
Okay.
All righty then. We're coming right on. We're within 2 weeks of the end of our run, at which point I'm going to be starting an entirely new group in September. I expect that all three of you will have graduated, and you'll be starting in the P2 group. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome, yes.
If for some reason your shoelaces are tied together and you fall down the stairs in these last couple of weeks, and you don't make it to the graduation, and you want to be included in the next go-around, then let's start up with the momentum that you've gained here and the things that you've learned, and then really lay it to rest and move on to the next level. You all good?
Yep.
Yep.
Good. Perfect. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry.
Do you have homework?
Yep. Finish your book out.
Okay.
And then
okay.
So that's it.
Okay.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.